book of Romans, and this is the first of four sessions on Romans chapter 13, and we're covering verses 1 through 4. The title is Submission. Submission. So let's read that passage. So Romans chapter 13, starting with verse 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. No one likes the concept of submission. It carries with it an implied inferiority, a suggestion that you need to be controlled or that you cannot manage your own affairs. In other words, the directive to submit contradicts your basic nature, which is to be independent and self-sufficient. Thus, your sense of competency is threatened. Your pride is threatened. We are not surprised at this when our relationship to the church or Christ is involved, but we must submit to civil authority too. Yes, we must. It is for his glory, our good, and the benefit of us all, both secular and sacred peoples. We know that God is the ultimate authority for both groups, but verse 1 tells us that some of his authority has been delegated to civil authority for your good and the good of society as a whole. So we have laws, police, taxes, and regulations. By the way, I was recently reminded of this by a very professional policeman in Texas whose radar gun documented that my car exceeded the speed limit by 10 miles per hour. The embarrassing thing is I was driving it. I pled guilty and sent the money. I guess we all need to be reminded of this truth from time to time. Actually, we are under a lot more types of authority than we may realize. One commentator has identified 5 authoritative relationships. They are government over citizens, church over believers, parents over children, bosses over employees, and of course, God over all. One topic comes up from time to time. Wouldn't it be great if we had a Christian government? The book of Romans was written to Christians in an empire ruled by an ungodly emperor. How were they to react to an oppressive regime under which they were being persecuted in horrible ways? Certainly, a persecution of Christian believers occurs also in our day. People who profess Christ are killed in other countries, as is documented in the news daily. In our country, persecution is much more moderate, but as we know, it happens. So why don't we push for a Christian political party with candidates who follow Christ? This we call Christian nationalism. There are at least 2 reasons. First of all, that's not God's plan. Even in Israel, a theocracy, the civil authority was invested in a king. The religious authority was given to the priests, kings from the tribe of Judah and the priests from the tribe of Levi, and never the twain shall meet. If king and priestly authority are both invested in one person, we get tyranny. Not good. Secondly, when Christians try to establish a Christian party, as happened years ago when I worked for Pat Robertson's campaign, they find themselves outvoted. By the way, we are a minority, in case you don't know. We often feel called in a challenging situation to act or to defend ourselves. Submission tells us that this is wrong, but what do we do to defend ourselves and the honor of God? 1 Peter 2, verse 11 through 17 tells us how to respond so that God is glorified, even if I am not. Let me encourage you to read that. We don't have quite the time we should today to do that. But 1 Peter 2, 11 through 17. Now, please note, good people can disagree regarding how to glorify God in times of challenge and testing from the evil one. For example, one may choose to take up arms in the military to protect a just cause. He is sensitive to his conscience. Another may believe that God's will is to avoid combat, and he declares himself a conscientious objector. He is also sensitive to his conscience, and each must respect the other. In closing, here is a quote from Barnhouse, Donald Gray Barnhouse, called The Christian Paradox. Quote, "We are to live as to make all comers see that Christ lives in us. We are free from all law except the law of Christ, and yet we are to be so obedient to human law that men will know that we are subject ourselves for Jesus' sake." So, Father, I thank you for taking care of us, loving us, and giving us these directives, these directions, to help us understand our role as we're in authority under you, but as well as the civil authority around us. I thank you for teaching me that reminder by that policeman with the radar gun. Just help us to walk by faith through these difficult situations and trust you for the outcome. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.